Hi, everybody. I want to introduce you, Sharon Foga. And the topic of the presentation is OFB's configuration only, or loop no code. There will be a question and answer section at the end of the presentation. And since we record the audio, I'm gonna provide you the microphone. So good luck, Sharon.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to my presentation called OFBiz, OFBiz Configuration Loop No Code. By nature, a lot of the Apache projects are quite technical projects, but the technical projects actually provide software and applications to business users. And sometimes business users need a way of being able to configure the application without any sort of programming or technical knowledge. So what I'd like to show you or take you through a little bit of OFBiz is options for configuring the applications without actually doing any programming. So that's the focus of the presentation today. So my agenda, I've got a bit of an introduction, sort of who am I, what is OFBiz or OFBiz, talk a bit about functional configuration and what it is, and about the levels that I've put together some levels that I can sort of split it up. Take you through some configuration examples, and then we'll finish with a summary and any questions and comments. Okay, so that's the structure for today. So let's start with introduction, who am I and what is OFBiz? So my name is Sharon Foga, I mentioned before. My background is project management, IT project management. I've run IT sort of projects, sort of ERP implementations in New Zealand and in Europe. I have also written a couple of books on OFBiz as well. That's why I put author there, though normally I'm not an author. I enjoy traveling. I've lived in quite a few places, and I'm currently living in Prague, so people who recognize the astronomical clockware. I've been involved with OFBiz since 2008. I'm a committer on the project, a PMC member, and recently an ASF member now. And this is my third ApacheCon. So I normally present in ApacheCon in Europe. So this is my first one on this side of the ocean. So yeah, that's about me. So the next definition, so here, what is Apache OFBiz or OFBiz? So OFBiz stood for Open for Business. So that's why you see the OFBiz, it was OFBiz. But open for business is a phrase that you can't really sort of copyright. So we have our sort of short abbreviation for this. So OFBiz is the project. So what is OFBiz? So actually, we've got a bit of something quite interesting for an Apache project. We've got two definitions, really, for what OFBiz is. The first one is that it's a framework to build business applications, which is pretty standard, I think, nice sort of Apache sort of project. The second is that it's an open source ERP and e-commerce application. I think, hold on, how can it be a framework and an open source ERP and e-commerce application? Well, the story I heard goes like this. The project originally started as a framework to build the application, then somebody said, hey, why not let's build an application as a demonstration to show what the framework can do. So let's do e-commerce. So I did e-commerce. I did inventory and warehousing, did accounting, did CRM, did human resource management, did a whole range of applications. And so these applications that were built to demonstrate the framework is actually now a product that people will want to download and use. So that's why we have this dual definition of OFBiz. And this dual definition actually is something that we need to be aware of in the project, because not all the people that we have in our community are technical people, are developers that want to use the framework to build things. So this is about as technical as I'm going to get, because I'm not a technical person. If we got technical, are you all technical people here? You look technical. yeah. So this diagram, I tried to keep it as simple as possible. So at the bottom, we've got three levels here. So at the bottom, we've got the framework, so the tools to build to build the applications. And we use Java, JavaScript, and Groovy, and whatever. And we have a data model. We have like an entity engine, and we have the services that that are used in the applications to service the applications. And at the top level, we've got the user interface and the screen widget. So, if you ask me any questions on this, I won't be able to answer. But I thought I put it out there so that the people that are technical will maybe have a look at it and say, oh, well, this is where OFBiz is Java, Tomcat, Darby. We use a lot of scripting as well, so Groovy and FreeMarker and things like this. So. So I think if you're a technical person, you're probably best to go and have a look at a technical bit of it, because I won't be able to help you understand it, I'm afraid. So what I've done as well is I've put together a really quick business overview, and this is more along the sort of things that I can understand, you see. So I hope that it will help you to understand. So we have a data model which was built on Len Silverstone's data model resource book, so volume 1, 2, and 3, and that's the basis for our data model and our sort of entity engine. We also have different connectors that we can connect it to different databases. By default, we have Darby installed, but you can just switch it to something else. And we have Tomcat, Java, Groovy, etc., running in the framework. And the applications use all the details there. So we have like sales, we have material requirements, planning and manufacturing, inventory, shipment, all this sort of functionality around the applications is built on there. So it's just, I thought it was just quite a nice little diagram to show what, you know, from a business perspective, how it all links together. So I mentioned before that because we've got the two definitions about what OFBiz is, we've got two different types of users. So we have the developers that are technical, they use the tools, they understand the structure of OFBiz, and they either use the demo applications to help them develop their applications, or they extend those applications. So they reuse the services, they reuse some of the screens, but they tailor it for their specific need. So they don't see OFBiz as a out-of-the-box complete product, they see it as a demonstration of applications. On the other side, we have some end users that download OFBiz and they say, hey, we've got all these applications and they seem to work to us, so let's put them in and use them for our organization. And we've got quite a few people that are doing that. But they are more business focused, they're more into the business processes, they understand the sort of business, how the business functions, they're not into understanding how the program works and what I need to do to install this and install that. So they're non-developers, and sometimes just installing it, you know, just downloading it, getting Java, and da-da-da-da, can be a major achievement. So we need to be really sort of mindful about how we manage that. So one of the ways that I wanted to help the business users really is to introduce this concept of functional configuration. So let's take a look at what it is and what levels I set up. So functional configuration is a way of tailoring the system using sort of configurable parameters. So that means that, you know, by setting some little switches or by doing some things, we can change the behavior of the system. So the system behaves like this. But if we set this switch here, it does this, and if we do that, then it'll do that. And so it's like different ways of changing the path and of the flow of the application based on some configurable parameters. So the benefits of functional configuration, and these are a couple that I've come across, and this is from my experience in the projects that I've worked on, is that it's very, very useful for helping build the engagement in users. So if IT projects are always about change, and people are changing systems, and you have problems with people wanting to accept the new system because they're used to their old system. So functional configuration, by making them an expert, and a knowledge expert, and a way of showing them how they can tailor the system to fit their needs, is a way of building their engagement and building their involvement and system knowledge. So that's something that they can repeat as well, so that they become a system expert, and that gives them sort of some credibility and some karma, you could say, as well. Another benefit is around upgradability, because we have this assumption that, you know, hey, OFBiz in 5 years' time is going to be a lot better than OFBiz today. So if we install OFBiz today, we don't want to get locked into just this version. We want to be able to see a nice upgrade path from one as we go through. And if you configure it, then that's something that's not, you can go and configure it in the new version. If you're coding it, then maybe it may not be so simple. Because I've been on projects where we've done a lot of custom development and we found it quite hard to develop, to move to the next version. So that's why I say, you know, this functional configuration is something that it would be quite good to help that upgradability. So what I've done is I've put together three levels. I mean, these are just sort of arbitrary levels, so basic, intermediate, and advanced, and I've just put together a few slides in the areas that I would classify in those in these three levels. So, and then we can maybe take a look at them on the system. So the basic level is around the look and feel. So generally, the user preferences, the language settings, the themes, how it looks, how it reacts, etc. We also have the sort of like the menu structure, and depending on the role the user has in the system, they may see a different view as well. So these are some of the things, you know, the basic look and feel, and that's pretty straightforward. So what I've done here is sort of did a quick cut and paste of some of the themes that we've got in there at the moment. So these are just some of the default themes that come in with OffBiz, but you can create your own, but you'd have to code it. But these are the ones that come in. So it just gives you an idea that you've got different looks and feels. One of the things that we have as well, I talked about the languages. So I've done an example of where we've just changed the language, where you can actually just change, go in, log in, select, and all the options are in different languages. We also have another application called My Portal, and it's like a little user, I don't know how you say it, an application where it's based on like screen widgets, screen portlets. So you can choose which portlets appear on your desktop, and you can have your calendar and all that sort of stuff on there as well. So you can tailor your view of the system and things like that, so you can have your timesheets and stuff, things for employees and the like. Another thing on the basic level is the screens. So we talked about the language, the system language, but we have a little tool called Label Manager, and Label Manager allows us to input or configure all the screens and all the error messages. So, for example, in here, I don't know if you can see this clearly, but we've got after done an extraction, and we can see that we've got, you know, Czech, Danish, English, French, and it's given you the actual label. And then you can, if you want to change the label in the system, you can just change the word, and it will do that dynamically. It'll also allow you to change the error messages. So if you're on screens and you call a particular field something different, then you can change it here and it will change it across the system. So that's something that that's on there as well. So if we move on to the next level up is, right, once you've got into the system, you've got the person that's setting it up, you need to look at setting up your users. And so we have an application called Party Manager. And Party Manager is the application that you use to set up all the people and all the organizations that deal with your company. So you would set up your company in that application, and you set up all your customers, and you set up all your suppliers, and you set up all the people you deal with, such as tax authorities, etc. as well. And based on that setup, you can allocate things like security groups and user IDs, so people who have access to the system. Because you may be setting up people that you deal with but don't have access to the system, and people that, like your customers, that are you want them to come back, or you're doing some e-commerce, and you give them access to the system so they come in. So OffBiz has some default security groups for the application, so effectively you can reuse these. You don't need to set up your own unless you're doing your custom app, or you want to change. There's security groups, and then below the security groups there are individual permissions, and you can add and change the permission through the standard menus as well. Right, another area I've put in the intermediate category is to do with data, because I think a lot of people don't realize that data is also configuration, because you're loading data into the system, and the data that you load into the system helps you do your work and it actually means something to you. So, for example, we can manually enter, like I take an extract out of human resources, like we're doing like skill types. You can enter different skill types, sort of like tables that you're going to use as your lookups in the system. You can also set up some of the applications are set up like accounting, for example, where you set up things like your prefixes, but your numbering systems, like your, the way that you're going to structure the numbering system, I'll just say that, tax year and all that sort of stuff. And one of the things that we also have in the application itself, so I've done an extract of one of the off-biz trunk from my install. Under each of the applications, so for example, we've got the application directory, and we have a data directory under each of the applications, and in each of the application directories, we have some demo data. So you can load the system with demo data just to see what data's in there and how you could use it if you had a company. So this is quite useful because they're all XML files, and they give you the XML structure of how to import data. So you can use these as a bit of a template to import your data, so your organization data, your general ledger, your chart of accounts, you know, your budget data, your asset maintenance data. It's all there. The formatting is all there. You just need to download it into some spreadsheet, put your details in, and upload it. And we have an import export facility already on the web tools menu, so you can do export everything and you can import everything. So that's another way to sort of get stuff in there. Another way, on the intermediate level, we've got data mapping. So once you've got the data in, if you map it, then it can mean something. So for example, you probably won't be able to see this, but I'll talk you through it. So this is from a couple of lines of extract from our HR application. So what we're doing is we're setting up a pay rate for somebody. So we're saying all the programmers get $2,000 a month. I don't know, maybe programmers get more than that, $2,000 a month. But this particular person is going to get $2,300 a month. And this particular person is also a programmer. So we're actually doing some mapping by exception. So we've got a basic mapping, and then we've got like override mappings. And you can do that quite a lot in Offbiz, where you can tailor things to suit particular situations. Also, as well, I've done we talked about setting parameters. So I've done an extract from what we call our catalog manager setup, where you're looking at things like inventory. So if you have more than one inventory facility, if you've got several warehouses, by default, it assumes you have one warehouse, but if you've got 10, you say, no, I've got more than one, and then you can actually put them in. Do you need to check inventory when people order stuff or not? Do I need to reserve it? Do I need to manage? Do we manage lots? All that sort of thing on the inventory side. For shipping costs, do we prorate them also, and things like that. So there's a lot of configurable parameters depending on what you want to do. And maybe sometimes you could probably say that we probably have quite a lot or too many configurable parameters, because it means that you've got to understand what you want to do to be able to configure them. Right, so I'm going to move on to advanced here. So advanced, what I would call advanced configuration is particularly, we have an application called Catalog Manager. And Catalog Manager is the area that manages products. And in Offbiz, virtually a lot of things are products. So I've given some few examples. So a lot of people think of products as things like finished goods, like a mobile phone or something like this, something you can touch. But there are also things like digital goods, an e-book. When you download an e-book, that's electronic. A subscription, a gift card, okay, you can say a gift card is a fixed finished good, but not really, because it's a card. The card doesn't have value. The electronic value that's loaded onto the card has value. So that's it's actually a digital product, you see? A service, when you've got service desk, consulting support, that's also a product, but it's a different type of product. And virtual and variant products. So clothing I would class as, boots and shoe footwear I would class as virtual and variant products. And a virtual product is like a product how can you describe a virtual product? A virtual product is something that is, maybe it would be better if I give you an example here. When you don't buy a t-shirt, when you go out to the shop and you buy a t-shirt, you don't really buy a t-shirt. People looking at me saying, of course I buy a t-shirt. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. What you buy a white large t-shirt or a green small t-shirt. You don't buy just a t-shirt. You actually have features that are linked to that product for you to be able to select it. So a t-shirt, generic, is a virtual product because you can't buy it. It doesn't exist. Well, it does exist, but only once it has the features attached. And so the variants that are based on that virtual product, that t-shirt, so if you're talking about a green one, you know, a large green one, a medium green one, a small green one, those are variants. They're like the children of our virtual product. So when you think about that, yeah?
As a programmer, I would call the virtual product a class.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm going to geek out here on you, Sharon. I would call the virtual product a class, mm-hmm. and the implementation, which is a green, small t-shirt, an object.
Okay.
Well, which is an instance of a class.
Okay, yeah, that works. Yeah, that's a good definition. So I think I'm going to keep that as a good definition.
Yeah.
Good definition for the thing. Thank you. Right. So then we have things like the configurable products. And I went to a talk earlier in the week, and I put a laptop in here only because you can add different configurations. But I saw a presentation. A guy was doing a bill of materials breakdown for car manufacturer. That's also configurable. So it's something that, you know, people take different options and stuff on it. So different types of products. So off-biz, customizations. In off-biz, they call it configurations. But yeah, it's part of it is about language, really. And you see, just by one word, products, all the different variations that you can have. And I suspect that there's probably not one. If you have an actual product, there's probably several ways you can get it set up. You probably different, you know, you can argue what's the difference between a virtual and a configurable or a, you know, things like that. So that's quite interesting. So the understanding the product, the base, is really, really important. So, sorry, I thought there was somebody going to ask a question then. No, okay. So also on the advanced side, we've got things like advanced pricing, we've got rules for creating discounts for people, for setting up particular payment terms and setting up all different agreements with your customers. We have a lot of integrations already written for things like Google Base, Checkout eBay, payment gateways, shipping, all these things already exist. You just need to plug in your configurations into Offbiz and it should work. Yeah. So these are all things that we've already thought of and they're already in there. So I mentioned t-shirt before. So I'm going to use the t-shirt as my main scenario here, and then I'm going to just take you through what the configuration would be. So let me run you through the scenarios first, and then we'll have a look at the implementation in Offbiz. So here we have a scenario, and the scenario is a very, very simple one. So selling t-shirts. So you have a customer. The customer sends your business money, and you have a stock of t-shirts. You have maybe a box of t-shirts. You could have a warehouse full of t-shirts, but you've got some t-shirts. And then you receive the order, and you send the t-shirt out to the customer. So in this scenario, you're managing the stock because you've got your t-shirts in your box, and you're also managing the delivery to the customer. So the customer's paid you, and you're saying, right, okay, I'm going to ship it to XYZ. So this model is quite interesting, really, because it's something that's quite scalable. So if you're a one-person business, you can use it. But also, if you're a larger company, you can use it, because effectively, this box of T-shirts can become your warehouse. And as part of the process already inbuilt with Offbiz, you have the ability to generate things like picking sheets and pick lists. You can either do them, you can print them and run them manually, or you can do them online where you can actually just say, okay, well, I need to go to this location and get this, and this location to get this, this location and this. I'm going to pack the order for my customer, and then I'm going to ship it. So you have different levels of complexity that you want to implement into this same standard flow. And it's all already there. You just need to decide which way you want to do it. So we will stay with our simple flow. The second flow that I've put in here is what we call drop shipment. And in this flow, what happens is your business doesn't actually have any stock at all. But the view to the customer is exactly the same. The customer doesn't know that you don't have any stock. The customer knows that he's ordering from you, and he's going to get his T-shirt. So effectively what happens here is the customer sends you money, makes his order, sends you money, but you actually go and order it from your supplier. And you say, hey, Mr. XYZ wants a green T-shirt. Ship it to him at this address. And the T-shirt arrives, and the customer doesn't know that it hasn't come from you. All they know is that they've sent the money and the T-shirt's arrived. So it's the same view it's exactly the same view as the first scenario. But in the back end, from a business perspective, it's different. Because your supplier is managing the stock and delivery to the customer. And now you need to manage the receipt of the payment. Then you need to manage the order generation to your supplier. And also you need to manage paying that supplier as well. So automatically, things have complicated a little bit because you've got a little loop there going. So once again, this is a little configuration thing. Third scenario we've got here. So once again, the same view to the customer. The customer sends his order, gets a T-shirt in the end. So here. Now, scenario three, this is manufacturing. So your business has got a sewing department. So in the sewing department, you've got your cloth, you've got your stuff, and you make the T-shirts. So now you manage the manufacture, and you manage the stock, and you manage the delivery. So you can make your T-shirts, put them in the warehouse. So you can make to order. And that's the thing about manufacturing is that not only can you make the standard stuff, you can make bespoke orders as well because you've got control over your raw materials. You can say, okay, well, I've got a sewing department. Somebody wants a purple one, CND on it. Somebody wants a Mohican white T-shirt. I can make it and send it out. And so that adds a bit more flexibility. But anyway, so that aside, three different process flows. But to the customer, they seem exactly the same. But to the business, they're different because they have to manage that difference. So what I'm going to show you really is now how to do each of these flows in OffBiz. So I've done some setup already. So I'm just going to hopefully say don't do demos on. Is that what they say? Don't do demos. Let me see if I can find it. So here we go. Right, okay, so let me see. So here I am. So here we are. So I'm here now in Catalog Manager. I've just chosen one of the themes. This is blue light. So what we have here is a Catalog Manager. So the first thing that I would do for the standard flow, which is the one where you're managing the T-shirt flow, the purchase and delivery to the customer, is I would set up a couple of features. So I'm just going to go in here. So I've created these features called T-shirt features. And the T-shirt features are the color and the size. So I've given three different colors. So red, yellow, and blue, and large, medium, and small. So I've set up the features there. Next thing I do is I create a product. Yeah. So I create a product, and I've created this product as a finished good. I've created it as a virtual product, flagged it as virtual. And then what I've done here is I've added the features to the product to this product. So I've said, right, okay, these features are valid for this product. So I've put in red, yellow, blue, and just pulled them in from that feature setup. Because I've pulled the features as a feature, it automatically knows that there will be some variants that are generated, and if you haven't generated them, it will prompt you to generate them. So I've already generated the variants. So this is the large blue, this is the medium blue, this is small blue, large red, medium red, small red, large yellow blue, etc. And what we have here is that we've got sort of nine products out of one product, and in OffBiz, when you're using our e-commerce or order entry, the product that comes out, that is actually shown is the class, the virtual product. And it gives you the options to select what color and size you want. And then it will redirect it to what you call the implementation of the class.
Yes,
instance of the class, instance of the class. So it'll redirect it to one of these automatically because that's how it's set up. So that's the virtual. So what I've done, did I do an order? I think I did an order. I'll just show you what the order looks like. How much time have I got yet? For order list. Here, I did the first one, which was this one. It's because it's completed. This one. Here. So this is my order. I must be computer slow. Right, so this is my order. Yes, it is. Yeah, my machine's a bit slow. I need to optimize maybe. Yeah. So here, so this is an order I've put in earlier. So what I've done is just pulled in and created an order for a particular this T-shirt. Here's the detail, and I've shipped it as well. So the standard large blue T-shirt. I've said that it's come in, ordered. I've shipped it. It's gone out to the and it's automatically invoiced it for the customer because.
You have really two views from a user perspective. You have the view of the administrator, configurator, who sets this up, mm-hmm. and then you have the view of your customer,
yeah.
who then goes online and hits it, right?
Yeah.
Is that a fair representation of it?
Sorry?
Yes,
it is.
So it is really an end user thing. So this thing could scale to thousands it could handle an internet load.
I know from the mailing list. I know that we've got some really really big implementations of it. Yeah, so as I say, the e-commerce was the first application that was written, and that's the one that's people know Office for. But a lot now we're getting a lot more people that are wanting to use the back end applications, maybe with the e-commerce add-on linked in, but maybe also the just manufacturing or just the CRM or just the HR. Or something like this, they just want to use the back-end applications. So, but yeah, it was essentially linked into a whole lot of e-commerce. So, okay, so that was the first. So that's the first example. So the second one I was going to just show you the difference. So let's go back. So the second flow, if you remember, was where we were going to do drop shipment. So the customer sends you the detail. You send the detail to the order details to the supplier. The supplier ships the stuff to the customer. And then you can use it. So let's have a look. So the setup is very, very similar to the product. So the features again, so let me just add ST002. Here's my dropship T-shirt. So I'll just show you the differences in the configuration. So here, so this is my dropship T-shirt. Once again, it's a virtual product. It has the features. We've added the features to it. And we also have the variants. So it's just the same as the first. The only thing that's different about this now is that we've flagged it here as dropship only. So we're only going to dropship it. And because we're going to dropship it, we need to specify who's going to dropship it. So we need to set up a supplier for it and say, this supplier is going to dropship it, and this is how much it cost us. So you can have multiple suppliers, and you could have also, if it's under 5, then use this supplier. If it's between 5 and 10, use this supplier. If it's a minimum order of 100, use this supplier. And depending on what the order quantity is, Office will select the right supplier and create the order for that supplier. So what happens now when the customer makes an order? I'll just go back into Order Manager. One of the things that we need to do is really get this tab thing going, really. I think it's this one. This dropship, yeah. So here, this is the dropship order that I put through. So notice what happens automatically when the order comes in, Office automatically links it to a drop, creates a purchase order to the supplier. So those suppliers that we set up in that previously, it says, right, okay, what's the quantity? Right, okay. Let's automatically create a purchase order to send to that supplier that's linked to this order. So when that purchase order gets completed, where the supplier says that he's delivered the detail, it'll automatically close this order. Oh, he wants a...
Sorry. So this purchase order, is it following some sort of standard format like EDI, or how does that go? Does it go over the wire? What's going on in the background?
Well, so at the moment, what it does, it creates just a standard purchase order in the application here. So it doesn't automatically send it out EDI. That's something that's an integration that you need to do, but you can email it.
Puts it in a database. Huh? Puts it in a database then.
Yeah,
I guess,
exactly. Yeah.
And then it's up to the actual whoever it is to then decide with how they want to then.
Yeah,
they can mail it or ship it or whatever.
Yeah, so you, yeah. I mean, I think we also have a way in which we can give the supplier access to, you know, like the you have.
Yeah, share the database or I mean, it's a whole other discussion. I was just curious what happens.
So here, but automatically because it's dropship, it creates the purchase order with the details, the delivery details, and the pricing details, because you said that the last time you bought it off the supplier, it cost $25, so it automatically puts the pricing in. And, okay, I don't know if people are into the sort of purchase order thing, but when the actual invoice comes in, if there's an adjustment, then you have to do, you know, purchase order adjustment. He says, oh, no, actually, it's gone up. It's $28 now. That's accounting, but anyway. So, effectively, you can print that, pack that. The supplier sends that out to your customer, and it closes off the order. That's flow. So that's the configuration that's for that. And I suppose you can have a mix of the various ones because you can set it up at the product level or the store level. Okay? And this process I won't go. That's as far as I go, because if I talk any more about accounting, we can go on for ages. Right, okay, so third scenario now. So now we're talking about our manufacturing flow. So let's go back into Catalog Manager. Now, the easiest way to generate a production run. So what happens when you manufacture something in Office? It generates a production run in our manufacturing module, and that tells you that you need to make something. So the easiest way to, or the quickest way to generate a manufacturing run is to have a configurable good, you know, like I said about the laptop or the car. And then you would set up configurations, etc. And every time you make an order for a configurable good, it will generate a production run. So it's a one, one, wrong, done. We use it as well for, I think, food, you know, like if you're doing food manufacture as well. So not food manufacture, but, you know, pizza delivery. Yeah, pizza. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, different toppings of the configuration. But yeah, exactly. Because we have little pods as well there. Yeah. So anyway, but I'm not going to use that because I've already started using the virtual variant. So I'm going to do it with virtual variants. And this is one of the reasons why I say, you know, there's no right way and wrong way to do it. It's just a different way. You can do it in various ways. So I did it with the virtual variant again. So what I did here, so let me just go and have a look at get my product up. Where is it? STO03. Here it is, my manufactured T-shirt. So this is my product that's the manufactured T-shirt. So what I've done here is, this again is a virtual product. And it has the same sort of setup as the other ones. I've set the features up. I've set up the variants. But what I have done for this one is I've set up an association. I've set up a bill of materials. So I've set up a bill of materials on it, and I've said I've got some cloth. Okay. I've got set up a bill of materials, and I've got some cloth. And what I've done here, hopefully you don't want to go too far, but this cloth is also a virtual product, and I've added the same. And what I've done is I've added the same features to the T-shirt that I had to the T-shirt to the cloth, so that the link between if I buy this T-shirt, the large blue T-shirt, it'll go and get me the large blue cloth. If I buy the small red T-shirt, it'll go and get me the small red cloth. So that's the way Offbiz works. It's got a lot of inherent linking. If you put the features and the things together, and it worked. So I've got a bill of materials there. And so what I've done here is I've set up, looked at the inventory, remember? So this was the area where I'd put the drop ship for every drop ship only. So what I've done here is I've said manufactured T-shirt, automatic for every sales order. I put it, but I could use a few other things as well, I could say, when we got low quantity. So what that means is when I order it, when somebody orders this product, it's going to generate a requirement. It's not going to generate the manufacturing run straight away. It's going to generate requirements. And the requirement is something like a suggestion that says, hey, you need to make some of these. Do you want to make some of these? We've got an order for some of these. So that's what the requirement is. And this is one of the things that the requirements planner uses. So when if you're familiar with material MRP, I don't know if people are, but it's a way of forecasting what you need to make when you're producing stuff. And it's a special program that people run. And what this does is it goes through all your orders and it says, hey, you need to make this then, this then, this then, this then. And it generates these requirements.
It's all about keeping your inventory.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. Git, not G-I-T. Yeah, so it generates a requirement. So I've put through an order for this product as well. So what's happened here? Let me have a look at this one. It's this one, I think, 11. Yes, so what's happened here? This is my manufactured T-shirt. What's happened here? Okay, forget about these little ones. These are something else. But this one here. So this is my manufactured T-shirt, red, medium. So I've said I want three of them, and it said we've got nothing in stock, so we've got to manage it. So automatically, it's creating me a requirement and says, hey, look, we need to look at this requirement. So let's go and take a look at this requirement. And here's the requirement. It says this has been created. Let me just quickly show you the requirements. So here, this is where Offbiz shows all the different requirements that it's what it's waiting for to make. So here, I said, right, okay, this is the requirement that was created for that order, the three here, and it's created. So once we approve this requirement, it will automatically create the production run. So in this one, where before I mentioned the configurable product would automatically create the production run for you, here we've added an extra layer of human intervention in saying, well, this is what we think we need to make. You need to approve it to make sure we make it. So depending on how you want your business to run, you can configure it to do what you want. So in this case, we're gonna approve it. So let me just see if it works. So let's approve this, and it should generate generate a production run. Fingers crossed there. Right, so it's gone. I go into manufacturing. I look at my production runs. And here, straight away, you see it's generated a production run from that requirement. And based on that requirement, so let's go and have a look at that production run. I'm not going to start it because we're not doing manufacturing, but here, automatically, remember I told you what I had, the cloth as a virtual product? Well, I ordered a medium red T-shirt, and it's automatically pulled in the medium red cloth as my material that I need to use to make it. So then stepping through the manufacturing process and all that sort of stuff is another thing, but just to quickly give you a brief overview of the ways that you can configure it that are different in the back end but look exactly the same to the customer. The customer doesn't know that all of this is happening. This is completely all business process and all configuration. So those are my three. Let me just have a quick look here. So let me just quickly go back to here. Right, so we talked a bit about these three flows. So I hope you had a look at those. So I think a lot of it is around creative thinking. So, and there's, I think that the, when a lot of the developers that had put Offbiz together had put in a lot of useful tools and a lot of useful configurations. And I think sometimes they may not be that obvious to people. So sometimes you need to go and have a look to go and see, you know, trial and error to see how things work. So I think it's also around understanding what your business wants to do, because not everybody wants to work in the same way. So you understand your business process and you understand how you can adjust the flow of the Offbiz applications to fit in with that flow rather than having to program them. So I think that it's not about, you know, I think that there's lots of different ways to achieve what you want. So, I've done them already. Okay, so I think we've talked about the definitions users here, done some examples. And I think that in conclusion, it's just a tool. And I'm not saying that you don't do any custom development and only do configuration. But I'm saying, sometimes configuration will work for you. Sometimes custom development will work for you. I mean, Office has some really good ways to make custom development quite simple. But it's about understanding what you want to do. And if you don't have a big tech IT department and you want to do stuff and you want to be able to configure Offbiz to do different things without having to pull in somebody technical all the time, then I think it's useful to understand and learn a bit about the functional configuration that's there. So looking for creative solutions and things like that. So that's really the main point of my presentation. So if anybody have any
This is great, Sharon. So I understand what you meant in the beginning, which was, if you want to do upgrades, mm-hmm. The configuration will save you from a lot of work because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one, even if you do have a big ID department, I know from experience, if you have a lot of custom development on a product, mm-hmm. then you've sort of, every time you upgrade, then there's going to be necessarily a lot of work to reapply those upgrades.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good pluggable model for reapplying those. So that makes a lot of sense. My question is in terms of scale. Mm-hmm. Do you know who the biggest user of OFBiz is in terms of production, and how many users that, how much load that is?
I don't. I know that I know that we have a UK or a UK European reference or user that's rolling out Offbiz throughout Europe, and at the moment I think they're sitting about 1,800 users, but they're looking to do more. But I think that from within Europe, I think there's maybe some bigger ones, but I'm not sure. I think, let's say, 1,800 is the biggest that I've heard of, that I know of, but I don't know if there's more higher. So, any questions? Okay. All right. Okay, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, everybody.